B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Yo, what's up, guys?
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Walled it, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Oh,
grab.
Great grab.
Oh, I got you almost.
Here we are. 5-0. Let's go. Let's go.
Take care of business. All right, fellas. That's a good job. Come down here and take care of business. 5 yards of carry. That's a big improvement. All right. Defensively, one for whatever on third down. So that's good. All right. But look, big thing is now we're going to turn the page, okay? It's Wednesday night, okay? Just look at it that way. It's Wednesday night on a Sunday game. So we had a quick turnaround here. Let's get some rest. All right. Let's do a good job here of being ready to go tomorrow and finish up this game and then get on to the Giants. All right. This one's going to be right on top of us. So we know them a little bit from preseason. We still got a lot of work to do here. All right. Let's make this a good week, fellas. Let's make it a good week. Congratulations. That's the way to come down here and nail them. Yeah. Nice job, man. All right. Slade, all yours, buddy.
Fellas, it ain't an easy thing to go 5-0 in this league. I don't care who you play. 5-0. How do we feel about that 5-0?
Oh, yeah!
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich Radio Program, Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. And it's good to see that Slater is back being a huge dork.
Yeah, he kind of ran out of material there at the end. He goes, you know, it's tough being 5-0, but 5-0. Oh, yeah. It was like He kind of ran out of material, I think.
No, but he also gave it a little, instead of going, how do we feel? He went, like, he changed it up. He goes, how do we feel?
How do we feel about being 5-0?
Oh, yeah! I like how he has to put the disclaimer on it, because it's true. It's like, he's like, you know, I don't care who you play. It's tough to go 5-0. It's a lot easier.
It's the acknowledgement that everyone, like, we think, the acknowledgement that every team they've played has been horrible.
Yeah, he goes, doesn't matter who it is.
It just, yeah, it's not easier because we played four teams with a collective one win.
Right, I mean, it's been since the opening game. Like, they haven't seemed excited in the locker room. I mean, like, you know, the first game they did against the Steelers, and then after that, it was just kind of like, all right, we knew
well,
we were
the Jets didn't even matter. They didn't even bother doing it.
Oh, yeah, it's like
right.
Relief.
That's right. There's
it's
one.
It's like they've come in and they're relieved that they have taken care of business. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, Kraft needs to speak more. That's for sure.
Well, I mean, the very first thing you heard was a
Graham. Great Graham.
Right. We are a long way from having a, you know.
How do we feel about tasting the sweet nectar of victory?
Maybe that's going to be saved for the Chiefs, possibly.
It's not Cleveland. I'll tell you that. It's not Cleveland.
So I'm trying to think, okay, after the Giants is who?
Jets. On a Monday night.
And then you've got Ravens, right? Then we're finally Ravens.
Cleveland.
Then Cleveland. Jeez, man. So we're still like just sitting here waiting for some real competition. And then you finally have the Ravens. Okay. All right. I mean, it just seems like every week you expect them to destroy anyone that they're going to play. And
no,
if they don't,
except for Buffalo.
And if they don't, it almost seems like, you know, people treat it like a loss, kind of like the Buffalo game. You know, it's like there was even talk about how grim the plane ride was coming back. And, you know, at that point, they were 4-0.
Well, that's just how hardcore the team is that it doesn't even matter. I mean, if win or lose, unless you did the little things correctly.
Mm-hmm.
You are screwed, but it's nice to see that Slater's back to being a huge dork, which is very appreciated,
mm-hmm.
I should say. I did a class with my wife on Sunday, a barbell class, where I was at the end of it using 8-pound dumbbells because I was so exhausted and fatigued.
Oh, yeah. It was just like one where they mixed in like plyometrics and stuff, like
no,
you jumping around. And
no, it was all like, it was, you do like a million deadlifts and then you do a million like closed hand presses with the tricep extensions.
Oh, sure.
And then you do lunges and squats. And I can't move. I can't move at all.
Yeah.
And what is that? Lactic acid builds up?
Well, that's what makes your muscle sore. Yes.
So it's all this like lactic acid.
Yeah.
What's it got to? You got to get it out of there?
I mean, it's your muscles rebuilding. You just have to get your body used to it.
I mean, I pumped down a ton of pro, a little bit of the teen.
Yeah, that helps.
Yeah, man.
That does help.
Yeah.
Get the old muscle milk. Did you get on the street?
Oh, there's muscle milk downstairs. Ted Johnson grabbed the muscle milk one time. I'm like, what are you doing? But yeah, I mean, I took a bunch of teens so that, you know, this doesn't go to waste.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I'm building.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got a little building block here.
Nothing makes me feel cooler than when I work out, I walk next door to the CVS and just walk out with my muscle milk.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, who's the cool guy?
Yeah,
leaving CVS.
700 calories.
Second to lean muscle milk, which probably doesn't work.
Oh, you do get muscle milk.
I do. Oh, yeah, yeah. I told you, I'm not joking. Like, I'll go next door to the CVS, and I'm the cool guy walking out with the muscle milk.
It's
like
now you're going to get huge.
Lean, but no, it's actually more for the healing, I think. I think that actually helps. But I mean,
muscle milk?
Yeah, I think it actually helps your muscles, like, not. I don't know. I read something somewhere that you don't feel it doesn't keep it inflamed as long. I might be completely wrong in that, but I just like walking out of the CVS with my muscle milk so everyone can look at me and go, that guy is cool.
Yeah.
That dude's buff.
I was wondering why you were getting so jacked. Now I know he's got the MM, got the M squared.
Yeah, no, the stuff I'm doing lately isn't as much getting jacked as it is just not falling apart at the seams. Like, I mean, it's funny, my wife got me, I'm still rocking the boot camp. Going to there, but my wife wanted me to try this like core power yoga where they crank it up to 100 degrees in there and I'm sweating like a pig, and they got a woman up there, and there's nothing weirder than being the only guy in a yoga class.
Oh, I told you I went to a yoga class one time, and they said to the class, if anyone is, what is it, menstruating?
Oh.
If they go, if anyone's menstruating right now.
Oh.
Da 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 da. And then so I was the only guy.
Oh.
This was in Atlanta.
Yeah. You see, I'll immediately have to go as far up to the front and as far to the right as I can, so none of the girls think I'm the creepy guy who's staring at them as they stretch.
Oh, no, you got to be in back, and that's because Heine. No, you got to go in back because I can't figure out what's going on.
Well, see, I can't either, and like I just hope, because I don't know what any of these poses or anything mean.
Yeah, because the guy or woman who do the class, like this woman who did this barbell class, she did it. Like, she did the class. Like, she did everything. And she does six classes a day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's like...
But she does the class. Like, usually, and for good reason, the people that do the class, like, you know, kind of show you what's going on, and then they walk around.
Yeah.
Which I hate. Just leave me alone. Like, you know, like don't bother. Like,
they ever use your name? Then it gets really awkward.
No,
here you go, Fred. Move your arm this way.
Well, they always ask. Well, she didn't have like a mic on when she came around, but because I was with Stephanie, who does it every week, she was like, "What's your name?" And then some stupid advice that I already knew. But with the yoga, the guy comes around, and I don't know how you did in that heat, but I get so sweaty.
Oh, dude.
That they do this thing, I can't do any of it, but like they have you lay on your stomach and then you have to grab your legs behind you, but I'm so sweaty that I keep slipping off my legs.
Yeah.
And then the dude comes by and puts my hands on my legs, and it just, get your hands off.
I'm not speaking hyperbole when I say that I've never sweat more in my life. Like, it was water running down my face, and I must have looked like a sweaty pig, but everyone else in there is, and I don't know whether that like helps. But I don't know.
I don't know why they do it.
100 degrees, they crank it up. But, I mean, I was in absolute pain. And anything having to do with my stomach kills me. Yeah. Like, I must not work out my stomach at all. So they have you, like, do planks and weird stuff like that. And it kills just to sit down and bend over afterwards.
I got no problems with that. I'm cut. Luke, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, what's up, Luke?
I just wanted to tell you, if you look at the nutrition label on regular milk and all that stuff as opposed to muscle milk, it all has the same protein value. So you're wasting your money on muscle milk.
Yeah.
I would assume
that's the case. I would assume that's the case.
It is absolutely, Fred, the case.
Yeah, I would assume. That doesn't seem like a... If they sell it at CVS, I'm a little wary of it.
Yeah. They sell drugs at CVS. I mean,
but are you getting it at the pharmacy? Now, if they had something at the pharmacy,
no, it is not. It is not over the counter or behind the counter Muscle Milk. No,
yeah, I question the validity of Muscle Milk myself as well.
No, it's right next to the Hawaiian Punch.
Exactly. Yeah, the protein that they have in the CVS frozen food section or whatever.
Oh, yeah, probably the same effect too. Yeah, but I mean,
it's like bottled water. It's just milk and a Muscle Milk.
But man, it sucks. You're right. I'm like slipping off my mat. And by the way,
I don't know what the point of it is. And then the women don't sweat. See, the women are superior in classes. That's the thing, because I was in this class and all the guys, and I probably one of them was a listener, but all these guys, like they would have to take breaks.
Oh yeah.
And then the women never take breaks.
We don't have the balance either. Like they make these.
Well, that's yoga. I'm talking about this barbell class. Well, no, in yoga the men are at a huge disadvantage, unless there's some show off prick that you know they'll go like, "Hey, do this," and then the guy will like
do a handstand.
Off the ground. And, yeah.
Yeah. All right, dude.
They're like practice hand. I went with that. They're like practice handstands. I'm like, no.
Ted, they didn't ask me to do that thing.
Oh no! And then they said, get a partner and practice headstands, handstands, and I'm like, I'm not doing that.
Nah,
it was like some hot mamacita.
You don't want to touch anybody in that class. I mean, you're sliding and slipping all over the place. You're so sweaty.
Or maybe you get a towel and you wipe it up, and then you after the class you wipe up all the sweat, and then you take it home and smell it.
It's the worst. Mm-hmm. It's not even DA stuff.
You know what
it's
I like?
Like
you know what
stuff.
I like about the classes? Remove the shoes, please. The best thing about yoga is I leave halfway through the class and start collecting.
So disgusting.
Out in the hallway, just taking the shoes with you?
Yep.
I get it.
Sure.
One for you, one for me.
Wear it like a gas mask.
Everyone comes out of there.
Strap it to your face.
Everyone comes out of there like a pirate with a peg leg. One shoe.
Weird, man.
Well, you can only carry so many.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Rick's Ryan for you.
That's the sound every foot fetishist makes when he sees a foot.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Yes. Speaking of that, when I went, I forgot that in yoga you have to take your shoes off.
Oh no, they don't like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I had to take care of it, so I can't show it to you now. But my wife gives me crap. My toenails grow at like 10 times the clip than most people's do, and I have like Wolverine toenails. Matter of fact, so bad that about 5 years ago, I was lying in our bed and I was, you know, you kind of like kick sometimes in your sleep, and I sliced our bed sheet right down the middle with my toenail. It was so pointy and gross. Ooh. So I take my shoe off and I go to the yoga thing. I'm like, oh crap. And I just have the most jacked up toenails.
No one's looking at your feet.
I don't know, man.
No one's looking at your feet.
Well, I hope not.
Believe me. All right, so what's coming up there, Rich?
All right, Tom Brady was the victim of one of the more annoying things going on in sports today. Right after the Redskins game.
Did he grow a mustache?
No, that might be the most annoying one, but this is not that.
All right, so we'll find out all about that in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, after the dismantling of the Washington Redskins on Sunday, there was a discussion on field between Tom Brady and Adrian Peterson involving a trend in sports that I find really strange and borderline irritating. Here's the sound. If you couldn't quite make out what's going on there, that's Adrian Peterson asking Tom Brady for his jersey, and Tom Brady saying, sure, man, I'll make sure you get it in a few. Now, I understand that despite being on different teams nowadays, players can be friends and pal around afterwards. But if you're Adrian Peterson, you just got your ass kicked so badly that your coach would be fired the next day. On top of that, you're a grown man asking another grown man for his clothes. I find the whole entire thing to be just weird. But at least Adrian got to Tom first. Here's Donald Penn of the Redskins seconds later.
Donald, what's up, man? How you doing? Make sure you join us for our call. I gave him 80 asks, but I'll send another one to you. I'll send another one. Stay healthy.
Yeah, I just promised it to Adrian Peterson. You can't have my jersey. I'll get you another one. I'll hit you back with that. You snooze, you lose there, Mr. Penn.
You're too big and too fat. Couldn't get to me quick enough. Sorry, pal.
I mean, and that's got to be annoying as hell for Brady, too, because after a game, everyone wants his jersey. At least Peterson didn't say to Brady, hey, you can have mine, too, because I've seen that happen before with, like, hey, I'll give you one of mine, you can have one of yours, because I'm sure Brady would have been awesome. He's like, great, also, I'll take your jersey. I'll hang it up, you know, so everyone knows, look at this jersey of a guy who beats his kids.
Well, he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, you could put it up there. You could display it. You could have a nice room with, say, you play 20-some-odd years, and you get 16 jerseys a year. You could fill up several rooms. It would be nice. It'd be like Zolak, who has a nice little display case.
Yes, he does.
He's got a man cave.
We've all gotten that video tour.
Yep, when he's laying on the pool table, all yep. full of Ambien and liquor.
That's right. What was this about, like, how many years ago did this start, where after games, people would just start asking the other guys for their jerseys?
It started back like when George Halas was coaching. You would see a young Mike Ditka trading with Bart Starr. Yeah.
I don't know. It just seems to me, asking another grown man, especially after you got killed.
What does Peterson care? He's just trying to make as much money as he can.
And I guess that's why I don't like it, is because you could say, what does Peterson care?
Yes.
And, you know, you'd hope they cared more, but they don't.
They're all part of the Players Association.
They all
share agents.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, no, they're not all millionaires. There's some guys that you see their contracts, and you're like, whoa. Like, that guy's going to have to get, like, a job.
Well, I guess I'm talking about these guys. Like, the stars.
Right.
Anyone whose jersey you would want, they're all millionaires.
Well, it just, like they signed a... Like, I just saw some guy sign for, like, $750,000 a year, which is, you know, obviously really good money, but the guy's only going to play, like, 3 years.
Yeah.
So, like, you're going to have to get, like, a job.
Sure, but no one's going up to, what, you know, Lacoste and asking for his jersey.
No. It was a different tangent. It was that, it always shocks me when you see a guy sign, like, a three-year deal for $750,000 per, because...
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to be able to rest on that money after agent fees and the taxes and everything else.
Well, one question after the game was about the inconsistencies with the offense. And last night, Brady's best buddy, Jim Gray, asked him about just that.
Tom, you also always tell us football really doesn't begin until Thanksgiving. And now we've entered into October, so there's still time to get things in order. But Tom, you know, as well as I do, that there's still a lot of things to be ironed out in the offense.
Yeah, there definitely are. You know, we realize that, and we're trying to get those things corrected. And I said last week, you know, we've had a lot of moving parts, and I think consistency is a big part of putting our best performance out there. And I think even last game is kind of a microcosm of what our season's been. It's just been inconsistent, and our first half wasn't very good, but our second half was a lot better. And I think the level of performance is all about how many guys can consistently do the right thing and execute at a high level.
Well, I know Tom.
Right.
Oprah knows Tom. Stedman knows Tom.
Mm-hmm. Man, I'd have
Oprah
a dinner.
Knows my wife.
I'd have a dinner.
We're all friends.
That's what that was.
So why not have a dinner? So that's what that was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that smile and that pointing of the finger at you.
Yeah, go. Yeah, he's got a lot of balls. Go do that, superstar.
Well, if you were looking to see Ben Watson.
By the way, everything Brady says, you can tell he's pissed. Which is a little ridiculous considering how loaded they are at running back. You know, they have 85 running backs, and they have Edelman and Gordon.
This team was top five offense last year, and they're kind of dropping back to the middle of the pack. I mean, it's just...
But, I mean, if you look at the running back, I mean, they invested a lot in the running back position, and they have...
Specifically to protect the quarterback.
Until this game for it to actually start taking off this season.
It almost didn't.
Yeah.
Well,
that wasn't the plan, though, the first half.
Well, I don't think
the plan
is that it's going to take off. I mean, they're going to be a run-first team. I mean, their defense is so good. I'm not hucking the ball all over the place. But like, it's like enough with the weapons. I mean, if you have Edelman, who's a premier slot receiver, and you have Gordon that everyone, you know, plays with themselves over based on his ability, what else do you want?
I mean, it's not like you're out there. What was the year that he had, like, Troy Brown playing receiver and everything else?
Sure. And Dorsett is obviously effective, except he got hurt.
Dorsett was a first-round pick. Is a vertical threat. Enough crying about what you got.
Maybe it's just more the frustration with himself because
that's right.
That offensive. Well, I mean, the offensive line has been pretty tough.
All right. Well, he's a guy who gets rid of the ball in 2 seconds, so I wouldn't be overly concerned with the offensive line.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No,
real quick, it hasn't worked. All of these things you say, in theory, are correct, and marvel over Josh Gordon. Philip Dorsett is a low first-round draft pick who they specifically traded for, but it hasn't worked. They haven't put the pieces together
I understand yet. That, but the idea that he doesn't have any weapons is ludicrous. I mean, people are like, oh, Tom doesn't have any weapons. Sure he does. Yeah, he does. He probably has the best slot receiver in football, and he's got a guy that is a freak athlete. And he's got, certainly as a third option, Doris, that's not crap.
The best receiving running backs in the league. No, you're right. He does have weapons.
Yeah.
But the frustration
is he's
unable to get any of that done.
That's right.
Well, I mean.
That's right.
It's not that they've been able to get it.
That's right. What?
That's right. And then everyone, oh, Fred, you don't know what you're talking about. He was hitting the deck on Sunday like you wouldn't believe.
I just love how we're looking at this, saying he hasn't been able to get anything done, and you look at the discrepancy in points over the first five games. I mean, they've scored a ton.
Has the offense looked good?
It's been inconsistent.
That's the point.
But
that's all I'm saying.
But they've gotten it done. I mean, in the second half, did the offense look good? Yes. Looked great.
Only because they couldn't get it. Only because they moved the ball up and down the field and almost got their quarterback killed in the first half.
Well, I think they just realized, we're going to have to start running the ball.
Well, that's the thing.
Because throwing it wasn't working in the first half.
And so that's the way it's going to be this year. But the idea that, you know, Brady's pissed that he doesn't have any weapons, he should be so lucky.
Yeah, I don't really understand that train of thought.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just the stink that was left from the whole Antonio Brown deal, where for a moment, you know, he got his toy to play with. He had, you know, the guy who was going to, you know, be the ultimate game changer, and now that he's gone, you know, maybe it's just a huge letdown. And by the way, I keep hearing more and more reports that Stephon Diggs is still on the table for the Patriots. Like, there's guys, I think it was Lock and Four yesterday, who said just, you know, keep your eye on the Stephon Diggs situation because the Patriots covet this guy. And it's going to be expensive, and I know it would be tough to make work, but that name's still there, and it's not going away.
Well, I would, certainly you do it. I mean, you got this year and maybe next year.
Well, if you were looking to see Ben Watson hopefully be part of the solution to the offense and their consistency, well, that's not going to happen because he was released yesterday. They let him serve his 4-game suspension and then said goodbye.
Yeah, so they sign him so he fails a drug test, gets a concussion, and then they cut him.
Yeah,
he made $600,000.
Can't quite cut him while he's serving a suspension.
No, they hired him and he had been, you know, putting whatever in him, and then he gets a concussion. And then they let him serve out a suspension, and then they give him $600,000 and say, be on your way. And he wants to play, too.
Clears up $2 million, which I'm sure is what they want, but it looks like it's going to be Matt Lacoste and Ryan Izzo at tight end until Rob Gronkowski's return in December. Now, as far as their game against the Giants in 2 days, New York was already shorthanded with Saquon Barkley more than likely out. Now, I say more than likely because there is still a small chance, as ridiculous as it sounds, of him getting back in time for the game. And Coach Pat Shurmur, he hasn't shut down that possibility as well of him bouncing back from that high ankle sprain. Remember when he first got hurt? They're like, it's going to be 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And then like 2 weeks later, a week and a half, he's out there practicing. I mean, he's been doing drills. And I mean, the guy, I've seen him on TV, and I don't know if he's in game shape, but he looks fast as hell with a high ankle sprain. But also, one more important piece that's going to be missing is wide receiver Sterling Shepard. He's out with a concussion. That is quite the break for the Patriots. They will, however, have Golden Tate, who returned last week from his 4-game suspension. And Golden Tate says that he's not going to be intimidated by the atmosphere at Foxborough.
There might be a little bit of an awe factor walking in there on Thursday night. You say you don't have that awe factor. So do you have to talk to the younger players and kind of get them to realize this isn't, we're not going up there for a show. We're going up there to win a football game.
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think we have a locker room full of fanboys. I think we understand we're all in the NFL. We're going out there to do a job. You know, we've all played in big games. I think at some point, and this, you know, is a big one because it's the next one on our schedule. But I don't think we need to put too much pressure on ourselves. I think we need to keep our emotions in check. I don't think we want to get too high. We don't want to get too low. Just live in the moment. you know, enjoy having an opportunity to go play in a very hostile environment against a great team and go out there and shock the world.
He would have been a great Patriot. Like, I want a Golden Tate so bad. First of all, I love his personality. The guy's, you know.
I had a chance to meet him in Minneapolis.
Yeah, he was great. Yeah. And he was fantastic. He's also talked a lot of trash on your guy, Fred, who's the coach, used to be for the Lions, and now he's the assistant coach.
Jim Schwartz?
Yeah, Jim Schwartz. He hates Jim Schwartz, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah, Jim Schwartz was such a prick, I thought he was kidding. Yeah, I thought he was being sarcastic. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
Should we go ahead and do it, Fred? Should we go ahead and get to what's going to be basically your... Your birthday in a couple minutes?
Yeah, there were two things that happened yesterday. The Cardinals 1-10, and then Baker Mayfield crapped down his leg.
Let's get to Baker Mayfield crapping down his leg on national television.
All right, here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports Hub.
Okay, so I don't know where you're going with this, but I'm excited.
Toucher and Rich.
Hang on to your hat,
because I got a take a coming.
On Boston's home for sports.
Take. Is it the take train?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Be listening this morning at 6:50 for your chance to score a pair of tickets. Seen Jim Brewer on his Live and Laugh, Live and Let Laugh tour this Friday night at the Wilbur Theater. Tickets still available at Wilbur.com, and he will be in studio Friday at 9:30.
Well, Fred, break out the lotion, because this one's for you.
Landry and Beckham Jr. to the left. He looks to the right, and it is intercepted off the deflection. It is Williams, and he's on the go. K'Wan Williams cutting back to midfield.
Well, Fred, you're right. Baker Mayfield sucks.
Yep.
And last night he was at his suckiest, notching his worst game of his career, completing just 8 of 22 passes for 100 yards. His first completion didn't come until under a minute left in the first quarter. He threw two interceptions, fumbled twice, was sacked four times, and had a 13 passer rating.
Yeah, and Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be psyched that he got that he caught two balls yesterday. Look at the receptions. Landry had 4, Beckham 2, Chubb 1, Johnson 1, Harris 1.
Yep.
9 receptions in that game.
They did everything they could to get the ball into his hands. He had threw a pass to start the game, Beckham did. Mm-hmm. They had him run the football, too.
Yeah, they had him run a couple times, and then they had him throw.
Freddie Kitchens looks clueless.
Yeah.
I mean, he got outcoached by a mile by Shanahan last night. No adjustments. Came out the third quarter trying to do the same stuff.
We can talk for a while about how the 49ers look like a legitimately good team, like with a creative offense, and on top of that, I mean, they just looked smooth and dialed in. But I'd rather play sound clips like this just for Fred.
Mayfield trying to get away, and the ball comes loose, and the 49ers recover, and it's Nick Bosa with the football.
Bosa was everywhere last night.
He planted the flag. He planted the flag, just like everyone loves Baker Mayfield, because he went to the middle of the field at Ohio State and planted the Oklahoma flag. And by the way, this is a league where you do things the right way. Da 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 da. Belichick wanted Mayfield. Blah. Yeah, that's what I want. Is some a hole that runs around in college planting a flag. How fun is it to be 5'11", prick, and have to run around not being able to see over your offensive lineman? You know what? Planting the flag and getting your friends excited is a little bit different than playing NFL quarterback. I can't believe these front office guys. Well, I don't know. He's got that it factor. Really? Ty Detmer had that it factor. And he was 10 times the quarterback.
Well, I mean, it was just, you knew from the very beginning that things were going to go so well. What, the very first play from scrimmage for San Francisco went like this.
And he's got this running game working, as you see, with Matt Breida. And look at the speed on Breida. What a way to start it. 83-yard touchdown.
They looked awesome yesterday. And obviously it's against the Browns, so, I mean, take everything with a grain of salt. But the 49ers.
No, the Browns were, they were going to challenge for a Super Bowl. They were going to own the AFC North. The AFC North down year. I mean, they were going to be the guys. I mean, after all, they went out and got a first-line receiver. They got a star receiver. What could go wrong? Well, if you don't have anyone to get them the ball, I'm going to lap it around. I'm going to take 85 laps.
You know, because
they ain't making the playoffs. Mayfield's never going to be any good. They brought Odell Beckham Jr. in. They brought Odell Beckham Jr. in. Oh, big deal. Oh, wow. They got a top flight receiver. Now what could go wrong?
They should be better than this. Baker's bad, but his coach is awful.
Fine, but I mean,
they got enough talent to be a decent team.
Okay.
Especially offensively. I mean, Nick Chubb's he's a great player. Landry's a great player.
I don't know if Chubb's great. I mean, Chubb's a serviceable running back.
How's that all those head coaching hires? How are they doing? Oh, remember, we got to hire an offensive mind. Freddie Kitchens, 2-3. Zach Taylor, Cincinnati, a quarterback genius, 0-4. Cliff Kingsbury has 1 win in 5 games, the same record Arizona had last year. Who else? Oh, and Adam Gase, another great quarterback, great offensive genius. Adam How are the Gase, Jets doing?
Adam Gase, who didn't give his starting quarterback first team reps until Friday of last week.
I mean, I'm not going to kill Gase. Look at what he had to deal with.
I don't care. He's been so unimaginative. It's been unbelievable.
Jets really showed any imagination? I mean, these guys are there to change things up, to make teams look different.
You can't be imaginative when your starting quarterback is Luke Falk.
I know.
I'm not going to kill him for that.
The best is Le'Veon Bell, who's been great in terms of
Hang on a second.
I'm talking.
Sorry.
Jesus, John. You've gotten very, very active the last couple days. I don't like that.
Sorry.
So Le'Veon Bell's been great, like with the media and everything. But they said, "What did you think of Luke Falk?" And he said, "Well, he played up to his abilities."
I love that. That's a great answer.
And
that's
a dick. Yeah. He was like, he played up
doing
to
the
his
best
ability.
He can do, man. Yeah, he's doing the best expect. He can do. I'll tell you what was great though. Last night there was a pass that Baker Mayfield had. I think they were on like the 5, and they're obviously in the red zone. And he passed it to Callaway, one of his receivers, who is right. I mean, basically, if he would have caught the ball and just fell to his right, it's touched. Down.
Yep.
But Callaway bobbles the ball and it ends up getting just like picked up. The bobble ends up going into the hands of, I forget who it was. It wasn't Sherman, but it was somebody who ended up running it back to the 50. And so I'm watching it. I'm going, well, that's hysterical because of the Browns, but it's not Baker's fault because he ended up hitting Callaway. To that, Tony Dungy tweeted, "I have to disagree with my man Booger, but that was a bad throw by Baker. Callaway was wide open. He's got to put that one on the numbers." I knew I liked Tony Dungy. I knew that he's a man that I always respected. So,
now everyone hates Baker Mayfield, huh?
I mean, it's just
now bizarre. Look, it's the cool thing. Pee in your pants is the best. Now everyone hates Baker Mayfield. Now everyone was doing that. Everyone told me how stupid I was. Everyone told me I didn't know what I was talking about, that you're hating. Oh, he's got the intangibles. Intangibles, my ass. Intangibles. Because he grabbed his nuts at the sideline.
Well, Bosa was everywhere yesterday.
Yeah, because he hates him.
He hates him. And you know what? As a matter of fact, after the game, Joey Bosa, I don't think he's a braggadocious type of guy, but he was enjoying this afterwards.
He had it coming, so. But he didn't say one word back, so.
What would you say, just an example?
I don't know, I was just screaming his name, like, Baker. Baker, you good? Come on, pick it up. We want a challenge. Like, stuff like that.
So this was throughout the game, not just
on. Yeah, and he was just looking at me like.
Can you tell when a quarterback is starting to rush things a little more and get out of rhythm? And did you see some of that tonight?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how anybody thought he would be able to see over Eric and Buck. But he was panicking. He was double clutching, rolling back and forth. We had him rattled all game.
I love it. I love it.
I told you. He just repeated what I just said. Have fun not being OC over your offensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see over him, and you're going to scramble around. And I told you, too, that he gives – we've talked to enough NFL players, and especially Flynn, that defensive players only have so many snaps in them. I mean, Bosa can't 16 games a year go full on every play. But if you hate the guy – like legitimately hate him,
which he obviously
You're gonna ramp things up a few more plays than you normally would.
Put a little extra sauce on it too. I mean, he was killing Baker Mayfield.
Yeah,
and he's right. Like, and Baker Mayfield just, I mean, he had that derp face the entire day. He had no answers yesterday.
No, and he didn't feel very dangerous because he obviously pussied out and started getting all skittish and crap and scrap himself in the pocket.
And they benched him too because they didn't want him taking the hits that Bosa was delivering at the end of the game. Yeah. They ended up putting on the bench and putting Garrett Gilbert.
But he's got those instincts, Rich. Even though he's not fast, he has those instincts to escape and maneuver in the pocket.
Yeah.
He's got everything going for
him.
You're
right. You're right. And it was, and listen, he's got a bad offensive line, but the stuff he was doing last night, there were so many bad decisions he made, and it wasn't because he was rushed, and it had nothing to do with his line. I mean, he was making bad decisions in the red zone. On top of that, just ill-advised passes. I mean, Fred,
he was 8 for 22 with 100 yards. I don't give a crap if you're playing with a peewee line.
Yeah, he sucked.
I mean, float one in the air to Beckham. Just chuck one up. Get it. I mean, please. Yeah, he's terrible. I wonder if he was feeling so dangerous with his dangerous self. So dangerous, crying about, oh, don't plant the flag. All right, John, we have to break.
No problem.
You can come back with your big point. All right.
I'm not going to tell you.
All right, Rich, what's coming up?
I really miss a guy who's no longer on the Celtics. He pulled a move last night that was just...
Oh, it was great.
He got himself ejected from a game. But if you're going to get ejected, this is how you should
do it. First preseason game for his new team. It was great.
He did it on purpose.
I know. Yeah. It was fantastic.
And his post-game reasons why were even better.
By the way, Vince Carter's still playing basketball.
Yes.
Was he 43?
I think he's 42.
Wow.
Still playing basketball
for
the Atlanta Falcons. I just looked up at the TV and I'm like, that's Vince Carter.
Or Hawks, yeah.
Or Hawks, yeah. That's Vince Carter. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
No parents, no rules, no shirts, and best of all,
it's Kutcher and Rich.
I read you all loud and clear.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Second and nine. Four-man rush. Score it, Kittle. And when you got one of the best tight ends in the league, that happens too. 22-yard touchdown catch, George Kittle.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and John, you have a statistic.
Yes, there are 34 quarterbacks that qualify to be among the leaders in passer rating for the season, and we were looking it up during the break. Baker Mayfield is now 32nd out of 34, ahead of only Luke Falk of the Jets and Josh Rosen of Miami.
And that's for the season?
Passer rating of 68.5 for the season.
All right, caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see Jim Brewer on his Live and Let Laugh tour this Friday night at the Wilbur Theater. Tickets still available at thewilbur.com. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, guys, I don't think it's just the front office guys that are overly enamored with Mayfield. When they introduced his backup, and I wouldn't even remember his name unless you just said it, they said a longtime friend of the Mayfield family, Daryl Gilbert, started either ahead of Mayfield in high school or college. But all I can remember was that. I'm like, and all I keep thinking is, like, when did the Mayfield family become an entity in the NFL? It's not the Mannings.
Yeah.
It's not even like the McCourties, for goodness sake.
You got to bow to the king. I mean, when Mayfield...
My God.
Hand the franchise over, baby.
I just can't believe... I mean, as I said, the coach is awful. And matter of fact, he's going to be fired at the end of the year. But that doesn't mistake the fact that Baker Mayfield's still making awful decisions, and he's running for his life.
I don't care who the offensive line is; he's terrible.
Well, you can't have that kind of passer rating. You can't be 32nd
out of 34.
32nd out of 34, and be a guy that was on the cover of Sports Illustrated with predictions, even people saying Super Bowl aspirations, and with all that talent around
Beckham
you.
Jr. They got Odell Beckham Jr. Well, I mean, that was going to make everything happen.
But you know what? That makes it even worse that he's got all this talent around him, and he still can't make it work.
Oh, no. They got Odell Beckham. Yeah, I was overlooking that. I didn't see how important that was going to be. Dan, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I just want to say I know how the show was set up. You got, you know, Rich bringing the topics, Fred's reacting. Man, you gave Wallach a little bit of second share, and, man, is he freaking going off. Oh, my God. I love you, Wallach, man, but whoo! Oh, keep swinging it, brother.
It's Big Johnson. Once you're in the secondary, Johnson Wallach has not gone away.
Yeah, I've heard this. I've heard that John has gotten very second cherry.
I mean, it's like he sits over there. He's Captain Fortunate Pleat. Like, I mean, my guy's just
got what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, no girl. By the way, no girl wants something that big.
I found that out. Yeah.
No one goes, oh, hey.
Unfortunate.
You even look like the guy in the Big Johnson shirt.
It's a problem.
He does look like the guy in the
You're Big Johnson.
I got the big smile, too. It's true.
We have so many people great with Photoshop. Can somebody just make me a Big Johnson Wallach shirt? Please. I just need to see the design.
What's an example of
I'm happy to smile for you. Just point the camera.
Big Johnson microphones.
Yep.
You know, nothing like having a big microphone when you're Big Johnson.
Nah.
You know, it's like,
nah, that's no good.
It's got to be some sort of like.
All right, I'm gonna give you some Big Johnsons here.
Okay. All right. Big Johnson's second.
I can't believe this is something people wore. This is like Crash's entire wardrobe.
Oh, yeah. Big Johnson shirts were everywhere.
Big Johnson's pool hall.
You got a lot of balls.
Pull out your stick and get felt on your balls. All right, you tell me the punchline.
Okay. All right.
Big Johnson Bar and Casino.
Poker in the front, liquor in the rear.
Oh, God.
Liquor up front, poker in the rear.
Okay. All right.
All right. Let me find what I can read. Big Johnson Bait Shack.
Oh, it's going to take a huge worm to catch the tuna.
You won't need to be a master baiter when she sees the size of your Johnson.
I like Rich's better.
You need a big worm to catch the tuna.
Oh, my God. All right. This is I mean, they ran out of ideas. Big Johnson Lance.
Let's just do a game.
Okay.
Name the Big Johnson. Okay. Finish the Big Johnson punchline.
All right. We'll do that at 8:40.
All right. That's fair.
All right. In honor of John Wallach.
Oh, thank you.
John's really running with this penis thing.
I mean, listen, I'd be proud of it, too.
It would be horrifying.
Why would it be horrifying?
Do you think a woman wants that?
Horrifying. Horrifying?
Yeah, so the way that it looked in that picture, I would not, if I was a woman, I would stay very clear of that.
I have been married twice, Fred, so there are at least two women that are fine with it.
That was a pleat. Are we acting like this is real?
No, we're not. I'm kidding.
I was going to say. Jesus, you were making fun of a pleat in your pants. My goodness gracious.
I'm going to walk through life at my age going, yup. That's me.
I just remember, so we took that photo. It was all of us with Jimmy Kimmel, and I think Dickie Barrett was there too.
Yeah.
And I tweeted out, and immediately there were like 50 responses within like a minute. I'm like, whoa, people really think that Jimmy Kimmel's cool. And I click on it, and I was like, look at Wallach's pants. Like, I hadn't even known it when I tweeted it out. And sure enough, he had this very fortunate pleat, which made him look like somebody who...
He had pleated shorts on.
Yeah. Pleated, you know, from the middle going towards the pocket.
Right.
Yes, it was very good. All right, Rich, we have something coming up. What will we have?
Okay, so yesterday on Twitter, I noticed there was an employee here at the radio station who was extremely upset about something. So I had to do a little digging, and now... We have more of an understanding of why not only he, but another employee at the radio station are pissed off.
Oh, I must hear this. Mm-hmm. And since we have 30 seconds to kill, I belong to this club, and I saw that there was pub trivia coming. They sent out a weekly thing, and it was pub trivia.
Yeah.
Who's the MC Masterson?
Oh, Sarge.
Mike Sarge Riley.
Oh, yes.
My goodness.
Is it ruining every experience?
Good for him.
Do you know how uncomfortable it is to be sitting somewhere and Sarge is like the help?
This is good. Now, how many times have you been to an event in the last 4 or 5 months that Sarge has been at?
Like two, but
wow, it's amazing. Just two. I mean, just
I don't go there. I don't go there like an awful lot, but I'm sure he's there more often than that. Like his dad might be a member or something.
Oh,
I don't know.
Big Johnson headlines: short on air, long in the chair.
Well, reverse them. Long in the air, short in the chair. No one's ever accused Wallach's headlines of being short. All right, speaking of which, here are the headlines, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.